An abbreviated version is from four parts of the first two chapters of Samuel. And the reason is we want you to know the whole story rather than have to take bits out of it. And I'll be pausing between where we move from one section on to another. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. As she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For the whole of his life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're going to be thinking about how do we have a faith that lasts throughout our lives. And research shows that children that start their lives in church and grow up in a Christian home, the time they're most likely to lose their faith is from about the age 12 to about 16, 17, 18. In that period is a time when most children fall away from their faith. But interestingly, it's also the period in which time most people come to faith. So if you haven't grown up in a Christian home and you have some sort of connection with a youth group or with a chaplain or some kind of Christian input in your life, at that period between the ages of 10 and 18, if you come to faith in that period, you will remain a Christian for the rest of your life. So the statistics show. So it's where we lose most people, but it's also our greatest opportunity for mission is within those kind of teenage years. And it's easy to see why, isn't it? Because actually, in those teenage years, you're going through that transition of being a child where you're completely connected to your parents or to those who are bringing you up. And you're starting to thinking about, well, who am I as an individual? Not what do my parents believe, but what do I believe? What do I think about the world? What do I think about my place in the world and why I'm here? So we're looking at faith that lasts. And this morning's theme is called Home. We're thinking about home. On the beach yesterday, when I was on the beach in Filey, I was chatting to Lucy Amos and Noah, and we were talking about building a house and what you would need if you were to build a home. Lucy, could you come forward and give me a hand? Is Noah here? I haven't seen Noah this morning. Oh, you're there. I saw your mum. I didn't see Noah. Could you come forward too? So we were talking about what would we need to do if we were to build a house. Now, I've got some props, but I think the first thing we might need is some walls, and I haven't got any walls. So could you pick two adults to be your walls?
My mum and your mum.
Oh, they've chosen the mums. Sorry, mums. You're going to be walls. Okay, I've got a roof for you. This is your roof. So maybe, should we put the walls up here? And then will you two work out how you're going to put the roof on the walls? That's the first thing to do. I'll get your other bits for your home. Oh, shoes are coming off. Okay, so there's your roof. Right, okay. Right, and now I've got some things to go in your home. So what does that represent?
Water,
yeah. It's kind of essential, isn't it? And Noah?
Baked beans.
Food. Yeah.
Warmth.
Yeah, you're kind of going to need somewhere to sleep, aren't you? What other things might you need? What other things might you need in a house to make it not just a building but a home? What makes a home a home?
A
Wait a minute, I'll get the microphone. Say again. I'm using this mic.
Is it on? Yeah. Photos, because every house has photos.
Photos. So why do we have photos? What are these photos of?
Family or friends.
Oh, okay. So in our home, we have photos of family and friends. And why do we do that? Why are they important to us?
Because the people we have on, like, a frame is, like, close to us. And we look at them and we remember we need them and then we love them and they love us.
Great. So we have photos in our house because they remind us of the people that we love. And they're important to us, important to our family. Can you think of anything else that we might need in a home? We've got food, we've got water, we've got shelter. We've got a blanket to keep us warm. We've got photos of our loved ones. Anything else, Noah, that you can think of? What do you have in your home that you think might be essential?
People.
People. Yeah, we need people, don't we? Yeah, it's nice to have people around. Yep.
The loo.
Important. The loo, says Lucy. We hadn't thought about that, have we? We haven't provided a toilet, but it's very important. You're going to need running water, sewerage. Yeah, that's kind of important. Anything else do you think we're missing from our beautiful home? No? You think we've got a TV? Okay, you need a TV, a bit of entertainment. Yeah. Now, in your house, do you watch screens on your own or do you sit round as a family and watch screens?
Well, we kind of do both.
Do a bit of both, yeah.
We watch, like, movies together and then I go upstairs and watch YouTube.
Yeah. So that tends to happen now, doesn't it? Used to be, when I grew up, when I was a lad, we just had one screen in our house, so we all had to gather around the TV, but now everyone's got screens all over the place, haven't they? But you do have times where you gather together. Thank you. Okay, I've got a question for you all now, the question on the screen. What makes a house a home? So talk to the people around you, your neighbours, the person you're sat with. What makes a house a home? Okay, so if you could bring your conversation to a close. So if you think in the people you've been talking to, you've got something maybe that we didn't say when we were building our little house up there. If you want to put your hand up, Lucy will run towards you with the microphone. Jane's got her hand up. And what makes a house a home?
Well, a home to us too is love and support.
Love and support.
Amongst the people in it.
So love and support for those who are in the house. Yep. Lucy, there's not just an arm up, but a hand kind of waving around, lassoing around at the back.
Somewhere you feel safe.
Somewhere where you feel safe. That's really important, isn't it? Yeah, in case you didn't catch that.
Yeah. Cooking facilities.
What was that? Cooking facilities, yeah. You need somewhere to open your tin of beans and warm it up.
Shelter.
Shelter, yeah. Especially in this country. Definitely need it. Not at the moment, but in the winter.
Somewhere where you can be your true self and you know that it's okay.
Yes. We talked about that a little bit. I said about somewhere where you can be honest, so if you're feeling angry, you can be angry, and then people will hopefully forgive you. So you can be totally yourself. That's a good one.
Toilet roll.
Toilet roll. Yeah, it's important. You've got to have toilet roll.
A shower.
Shower. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to live with people if they haven't got a shower.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. That's a good one. It's forgiveness. Oh, a couple more.
Somewhere where you feel welcome as an outsider.
Welcomed as an outsider. Yeah, we were talking about family being not just those you're related to, but anybody who comes into your home, or your kind of wider friends are part of that family. Yeah.
Doors, so you can shut them and open them again.
Yes, we were talking about having, as well as having time together, sometimes you need some time on your own, don't you? It's nice to have a door that you can close. Have some personal time.
Somewhere where you actually belong. I've just been on holiday and stayed in other people's houses that had all of those things
right. That
we've just mentioned, but I didn't belong there, and I wanted to come back to my home where I belong.
Yeah, there's no place like home. It's somewhere where you belong. Thank you, that's really good. I'll take that back, please. Hello, Chloe. So home's really important to us, isn't it? It's where we get that sense of identity. Hopefully it's a safe place. It's not always the case, sadly, but hopefully it's a place where you feel at home, where you feel safe and loved and accepted. And in terms of faith, the hope is that home is a place where faith can be nurtured, where you can start to grow in faith. One of the things I've always done with my children is at breakfast time, opened a children's Bible. I only do it with Ted now, actually. But at breakfast time, I get my study Bible out and I make my notes, but also Ted has his little picture Bible and we'll go through a story. And he won't let me have his, you know, he won't have his Rice Krispies unless he's also got his Bible story out and I read him a story. And that's something that we do every day so that as he grows, he's just got that as a foundation in his life. This is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Some of you will be familiar with it. You might have studied this at school. But it talks about some of the things we've just been talking about. Right at the bottom there, the bottom line, is physiological. So it's the things we need, like food and shelter, the very basic things we need, are the kind of the basis of this hierarchy of needs. So we definitely need that as our foundation. Without that, we can't live. If we don't get food, we haven't got shelter, we don't survive. And then above that is safety, and we've talked about some of that as well, that sense of feeling safe and secure. And this leads on into the other ones. So above that is love and belonging and esteem. And when we talked about what makes a house a home, we talked about some of those things, didn't we? About feeling that we belong, feeling it's somewhere that we're safe, where we're respected and valued, where we can be ourselves. And if you notice, right at the top there is self-actualization, which is a very big word, but it's to do with finding meaning, finding a sense of purpose, particularly as you grow up. And as we talked about earlier, when you leave that kind of parental bond, you begin to stand on your own, think, who am I as a person? And having a sense of meaning and purpose in your life is really important. So as we're talking about home and family, I want to talk about the word oikos. Oikos is a Greek word that means family. And when the church first began, they used that word to describe the church. The church was like a family. Why? Well, because it's somewhere where you get belonging and identity, somewhere where you feel safe, somewhere hopefully where you can feel you can be yourself. And all these things were values that were really key as the church was beginning, as they were discovering oikos, what it means to be family. They were discovering all these things, including what it means to argue with people and fall out. You know, the early church wasn't perfect. It had lots of disagreements and people falling out with each other. But they were family together. They were doing life together. And that was called oikos, church as family. And if you think about it, it makes sense because when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, what does he say? He says, call God your Father, our Father in heaven. So we have a father, and that's important in a family to have a parent. And then also Jesus, when Jesus comes as the Son of God, so again, it's family, we see that he's born into a family. He doesn't exist in some kind of like holy cloud. He's born into a real family with a mum and a dad, you know, and he grows up learning things. And he learns what it's like to be a Jewish young man and to live in that culture. He learns what it's like to relate to his mum and his dad and his brothers and his family. And he grows up in that very real family environment. So if we think about church as family, this quote says, church is not something you go to. It's a family that you belong to. You know, sometimes people say, well, you don't really need to go to church to be a Christian. But we don't go to church. We are the church. It's something that we belong to. It's part of who we are. It's part of that family that we belong to. And we all play our part. So what we're wanting to nurture is a loving family environment where all of us, particularly children, can explore faith and deepen their faith, a place of love and nurture. This morning's story, Bible story, we were talking about Hannah and Samuel. Hannah really, really wanted a child. In fact, she was mocked by somebody who said, I've got children and you haven't. And she was in this real place of desperation. She prayed for God to have a child. And she had a child and she said, God, if I have a child, I will dedicate this child to you. And that's what she did. So Samuel spent his early years at home. But then as he got to, they think probably about the age of 10 or 12. It wasn't when he was a tiny toddler, when he was about 10. He was then taken to the temple and kind of handed over as an offering to say, this boy is going to grow up in the temple. He's going to live his whole life dedicated to God. But interestingly, in the reading this morning, we noticed that his mum doesn't just say, oh, that's it, I'm not going to have anything to do with him. It says every year he made a coat for him and she took it up to the temple and gave it to Samuel because that connection that she had with her son didn't just stop. You know, she didn't just hand him over and that was it. It carried on and she was part of his life all the way through his life. And no matter what our age is, we need love and support, don't we? We need to know that we belong. I've heard about parenting talked about in this way. It's about giving children both roots and wings. I think it's a really interesting phrase. It's about giving children roots and wings. So roots, an example of giving children roots, particularly in terms of faith, would be what I do with Ted in the morning when we read that Bible and, you know, bringing them to church each week, is that they're growing up in that environment. But actually, with my older children, my eldest is 13, it's about giving them wings as well, a bit of flexibility, because they start to question. And rather than saying, oh, no questions allowed, you just believe in God and that's it, and you come to church and that's it, they're allowed to ask questions, and we debate and we discuss things. I once heard a really experienced youth worker talking about one of the problems why teenagers lose their faith is that they grow up with a faith that's really rigid. So we tell them that everything's black and white, everything's really clear, this is what you need to believe, and this is how it is. Now, for small children, that works well, because that's kind of how they see the world, and they need to know kind of black and white, yes and no, right and wrong. And so that works. But actually, as they get older, they need to have a faith that's a bit more flexible. Because if you grow up with black and white, and then as soon as you get into life, you realize that life is not that simple, and life is not that easy, that rigid faith just breaks. So you think, well, there's no such thing as God then. There's no such thing as Jesus. I'll put it away with my, you know, belief in Father Christmas or whatever else. Because that faith has been too rigid, and it's broken. So as children grow up, and as we grow up as adults, we need to have a faith that has flexibility, that is able to bend with how hard life is, how difficult just the being a human being is, the challenges that life throws at us. We need to have that flexibility, to know that God is deeper than our simple, you know, Sunday school stories that we learn as a child. That actually God is part of our life when things are really difficult, when things are really challenging. That doubt is part of faith. That things aren't easy. We need to have that flexibility. In short, we need both roots, but we need wings as well. We need to be able to go from kind of a place of safety into a place of adventure with God, where things are perhaps not quite so simple. When we look at Jesus, we see that Jesus encouraged children. He encouraged them to come near to him. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to teach them. But he did more than that. He says that the kingdom of God belongs to them. That actually there's something about the way that they are that we need to have in order to enter the kingdom, in order to have life with God. And it's something to do with wonder and awe and innocence. Not ignorance, but innocence. There's something about the way that children are that we can lose as a cynical adult. And it stops us from being in the kingdom. It builds a barrier between us and God. The hope is that St. Andrew's Church will be a place where everybody can grow in their faith, no matter what your age, where children are cared for and nurtured. I want to pray for us all now, for our faith, and particularly for our children and young people. Lord God, we thank you that you are our Father, and that we are all your sons and daughters, that we belong to you, whether we are 2 weeks old, 2 months old, 2 years old, 20 years old, 40 years old, 80 years old. We belong to you. We are your children. And Lord, thank you that you are always with us, teaching us new things, helping us to grow in our faith. And Lord, if we've become stuck, we take this moment now to say yes to you, to move close to you, to take to you our pains and our sufferings, our doubts, our fears, to bring them all to you. And I pray that this church will be a place where we can each help to love and nurture each other, where we can be a family, where we are honest, accepting, forgiving, and loving. Lord Jesus, we need you to be with us on this journey. We pray particularly for our children and young people, that they will grow up knowing you. And as they reach those teenage years, that they'll have the freedom to ask questions, to explore, to question, and to discover more and more about who you are. Lord, lead us on in your name and for your glory. Amen.